The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the Pharisees, "There was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen, and dined sumptuously each day. And lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even used to come and lick his sores. When the poor man died, he was carried away to the arms of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. And from the nether world, where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he cried out, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torments in these flames.' Abraham replied, 'My child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is in comfort here, where you are in torment. Moreover, between you and I is a great chasm, established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from our side to yours, or from your side to ours.' He said, 'Then I beg you, Father, send him into my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they too come to this place of torment.' But Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them.' He said, 'Oh no, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent.' Father Abraham said, 'If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Lord. The story that Jesus tells in the Gospel today is a tough one for Americans in the 21st century, but we must hear it or suffer the fate of the rich man. Jesus says that this rich man was dressed in purple and linen. These were expensive items in Israel, and they were similar to the sacred clothing worn by the high priest of that time. Now, this is in contrast to Lazarus's sores that covered his entire body as if they were clothing. The rich man ate splendidly, not once a week or whenever something special was happening, but every day. Lazarus, whose name in Hebrew means "God is my help," lays at the rich man's gate and longs to eat the scraps that fall from the rich man's table. By the way, in the time period under consideration here, people didn't use knives, forks, and spoons to eat with. They ate with their hands. And then when they finished, they cleaned their hands with leftover hunks of bread. And these hunks were then either thrown away or fed to the dogs. So when it says that Lazarus longed to eat the scraps, essentially it is saying that he longed to eat dog food. In fact, the dogs even used him when they came and licked his sores. Well, so far this is not a pretty story, but it gets worse. The Jewish listeners of this story would have expected the rich man to be the first to enter heaven after his death. To them, riches were a sign that they had God's favor, that he was blessing them. So for Jesus to say that Lazarus was comforted at the bosom of Abraham and the rich man was languishing in fire would have been fighting words to the Jews of his time. Besides, what was the sin of the rich man? I mean, he didn't kick Lazarus on the way into or out of his house. As Jesus puts it here, the sin of the rich man was that he refused to even notice Lazarus lying in shame and hunger and ill health at the entrance gate to his estate. And he did this day after day. He refused to notice those around him who were in need of help. Jesus is saying that the rich man went to hell for this. Why was Jesus so concerned about the poor? Why does the Old Testament tell us that God expects us to take care of our poor and marginalized? Well, because when God created us, Genesis tells us that he created us in his own image. So every being that has breath, that is alive, was created in the image and likeness of God. And Jesus says, whatever you do for the least of my brothers, you do for me. God says it is our sacred duty and responsibility to notice those who need help, and furthermore, to share what we have to make sure that this happens. So what can we do? Well, we can notice those around us who need help. And there's stuff we need to figure out in order to serve the poor well. Did you ever wonder where street people come from? I had a brother that lived on the streets from time to time because of his mental illness. He was schizophrenic. And that made him unable to function very well in society and to drink large amounts of alcohol to silence the voices so he could get to sleep. So much of his adult life, especially toward the end, was spent on the street. Now, in former times, my brother would have been institutionalized in a state facility of some sort where they would try to treat him. And then came the 1960s, where activists protested for the release of such people because they claimed that these patients were treated cruelly. And in some places, they were. So we just let them out. Many of our street people have a serious mental illness, or they are terribly addicted to drugs or alcohol. So what do we do about that? You know, if we really want to tackle homelessness, we had better be thinking about how to treat mental illness and addiction more effectively. Or how can we fashion a system that helps people when they really do need help, but does not produce people who become dependent upon such help? That is a major criticism leveled at our current efforts to deal with the poor of our nation. Another one is how we deal with children born out of wedlock. You know, in 2023, the CDC said that 40% of all American births were to unmarried women, compared to less than half than that in 1980. Now, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that children born to a single-parent family are much more likely to be poor, but also to be angry due to a lack of direction that a father provides. You know, when gangs go out and recruit members, they're always looking for the single-parent households because they know they can get them. If these issues aren't dealt with, we are really not helping anyone with our current system. It needs to be fixed. At the end of the story, the rich man tries to get Abraham to warn his brothers about their fate if they ignore those in need, just as this rich man had done. And he even goes so far as to request that someone be raised from the dead to warn them. Most likely, that person would probably be the rich man, I'm guessing, is what he's asking. I mean, when he asks that Father Abraham to let Lazarus go get some water and put it on his tongue because he's suffering in these flames, here he's ignored Lazarus all of his life, and then he's asking that Lazarus help him now. That, I mean, it's... Well, Abraham says, look, your brothers have Moses and the prophets, and they're clearly telling them this is their responsibility. So even if one should rise from the dead, it wouldn't change their mind. Well, we too have Moses and the prophets, and now the New Testament, Jesus. They still speak to us today. And the thing is, we have here one who raised from the dead, who is warning us about seeing the plight of those around us. And the question is, will we hear him? Will the Jesus that comes to us from this altar find us recognizing and responding to the poor later today or this week?